You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, and around the world. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, as always, are standing by at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go to the phone lines. First caller today, Reggie, listening in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Reggie.
Hey, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. You answered a question. She said that her mother was a strong believer. She read the Bible. She would tell people about God and prayed and everything. But she said that her mother didn't go to church. And the question had to pertain to being saved. And I got kind of confused. Sure, you go to church for the fellowship and everything like that. But what about, you know, people that can't go, which I understand that too. But, you know, other people that they love Jesus and everything, but they're just not a people person. You know, is that a sin? You know, I guess that's, I think you probably understand what I'm saying.
Sure. And what I was saying in essence, Reggie, is that salvation is not just a decision that you make. It is a way of life. It is taking up your cross and following Jesus Christ, but never in isolation. The body of Christ needs you. The body of Christ needs me. And we, conversely, need the body of Christ as well. So when we're baptized into a community of faith, and it is within the community of faith that we receive communion. You can't receive communion in isolation. It is not an isolationist activity. It is done within the body of Christ. In fact, it is a means by which we become knit together as the body of Christ. My point is simply to say that believers become identified not only with Christ, but also with his body.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, and that the only reason I asked would be because, you know, I was thinking about Jesus on the cross and the man that was next to him, you know, the thief that was told that today I will see you in heaven. You know, well, he never had a chance to be baptized or anything like that.
Right. So the point there is that the thief on the cross was saved by God's grace. He placed his faith in Jesus Christ, and he manifested that faith. Now, you're right, he did not have an opportunity to be baptized, nor did he have the opportunity to become a vital reproducing member within a healthy, well-balanced church. But do we want to argue now that had he lived, he should not have been a disciple of Jesus Christ? Should we argue that he should not have witnessed for Jesus Christ? Should we argue that he should not have taken communion within the community of believers? I don't think so. If we argue that way, then we're arguing against the whole of Scripture. And in fact, the didactic epistles, which lay all of this out with great clarity.
Okay, Hank. Well, thanks a lot. I guess the bottom line, though, would be the lady that we were talking about, though, she has to join a church then?
It's not have to join a church. It's what you want to do. Because how could someone possibly partake of the graces of God in complete isolation? How would someone partake of communion? How would someone be baptized? How would someone be accountable within the body of Christ? So it's not that she has to, but as a participant in the kingdom, this would be her greatest desire.
Yes, okay. All righty, well, that clears that up for me.
Well, thank you for calling, Reggie. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Charles. He's listening in Athens, Georgia. Hi, Charles.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Hank.
Pleasure.
I wanted to ask you about a ministry called Be in Health by Dr. Henry Wright. He wrote a book called A More Excellent Way. And I was wondering if you know anything about it, whether it's a real Christian ministry. They associate, you know, healing with deliverance a lot, and spirits causing medical problems a lot, and that kind of thing. And do you know anything about it?
Yeah, he should be ashamed of himself. I mean, A More Excellent Way is actually a more dubious way because of his dubious use of Scripture as well as his dubious use of science. We ought to do Scripture well. We ought to do science well. He does neither. He argues that the root of psychological and biological disease is spiritual, such that God's perfect will is that none of us will ever get sick. Now, this is simply nonsense. We all die of our last disease. He argues that tumors or cysts that appear in particular organs or body parts are the result of unresolved bitterness with a blood relative. And this, again, is just self-evidently ridiculous. That generational curses like a child's illness, now, that is the result of the parent's sin and can be healed when the parents repent. All of this is not only reprehensible, it's irresponsible. And it's unfortunate that people like this have platforms to communicate their poisonous teachings. Poisonous in the sense that people make life decisions on the basis of this kind of spiritual cyanide.
Well, it doesn't sound like you think he's a real genuine Christian or it's a Christian ministry by the
way. Well, I cannot judge his heart. That's the province of the Holy Spirit. But I can test his teachings in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. This is something that not only I should do, but you should do. All of us as Christians are called to do. You know, when the great apostle Paul was tested by the Bereans, he said that they were more noble than the Thessalonians because they daily examined the Scriptures to see if what he was saying was in fact so. So they were counted noble because they tested, and that's precisely what you ought to do with the teachings of Henry Wright and those like him. I wrote a book which really deals with this in substance. It's called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. You can find that book on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Shane in Tyler, Texas. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Hank. I was wondering, how is the activity of the Holy Spirit different since Pentecost? We know that whenever we see God in the Old Testament, you know, he is still the Trinity, you know, three in one. And I was wondering how that has been different since the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost.
Yeah, I think what's fantastic is the Holy Spirit came from heaven at Pentecost, but not in the sense of location, but rather in the sense of a special manifestation of his presence and his power. So there's two things that we talk about as believers. We talk about the indwelling of the Spirit when you become a believer and you're baptized and you take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ. You're one who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You're also, however, being infilled with the Spirit. And I love a quote I heard many, many years ago, which in essence said, we need to be filled on an ongoing basis because we're leaky vessels, and thus we require the constant empowering of the Spirit in our lives. Before I came on the broadcast today, I prayed. Now, I could have said, you know, I prayed yesterday before I came on the broadcast. Why do I need to pray today? Well, because for each new day, I ask the Lord to empower me so that what I do is not by might nor by power, but rather by His Spirit. So we're being not only indwelt by the Spirit, but we're being constantly infilled or empowered for service by the Spirit.
Okay. How is that effective, or did it really matter in regards to people who were filled with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? Because you see Saul, you know, prophesying in the Spirit and, you know, people saying that he's prophesying in the name of the Holy Spirit, but I've always wondered whether or not Saul was actually saved. So it was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which, you know, is a mark of our being sealed with the Holy Spirit, like as a promise of our salvation. How was that different at that time versus now?
Yeah, again, when Jesus talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, he was not implying that the Holy Spirit was not already in the world, but that the Spirit was to come in the sense, as I mentioned, of empowering or infilling. But you're absolutely right. If you go to the Old Testament, there are numerous examples of the Spirit operating within the first king of Israel, also within Joshua, also within Moses. The Holy Spirit was a personal presence within David, and he's always been in the midst of God's people. But again, what's happening with respect to Pentecost is the empowering of God's people so that the world might be transformed. We're going to leave it at that. We're up against a hard break. We'll be right back.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is without question the most important event in human history. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to family and friends concerning the central event of Christianity, the Christian Research Institute is offering The Week That Changed the World on DVD, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Pam listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. Love your ministry. And thank you for equipping me to answer some of the questions that are asked of me. I was just kind of wanting your take on the book and the movie, The Shack.
Well, yeah, I wrote a little piece, which you can find on the web, on The Shack. And in that piece, I point out that Young's stereotypical characterization of the father as a large, beaming African-American woman, and the son is a Jew with a large nose, and the Holy Spirit is a mysterious Asian female, made me more than a little bit queasy. I mean, the very characterization of God the Father was unsettling, to say the least. But I think that one of the things that was most unsettling to me is that Young chides those that he believes to have misconceptions about the Trinity, and then proceeds to ironically compromise, confuse, and outright contradict biblical orthodoxy at many, many different points. For example, he pictures the Father bearing crucifixion scars as well as being incarnated in tandem with the Holy Spirit. In historic biblical Christianity, only the Son is incarnated, and only the Son suffers and dies on the cross. Not only that, but Young pontificates that Jesus has never drawn upon his nature as God to do anything. Those who have read through the Bible know that that is manifestly false. He also has Jesus, the Jew with the big nose, declaring, "I'm not a Christian, and I have no desire to make them Buddhists and Mormons and Muslims Christian." In fact, he describes Christians as religious fanatics and part of a sinful world system. In sharp distinction, obviously the followers of Christ adopted the word Christian in the midst of their suffering and persecution. A classic example would be Peter, where he says, "If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name." So I find so many difficulties. I mean, you could go on and on with the difficulties, and I find it unsettling, to say the least, that William P. Young has been set up as an authority in light of his contradictions of essential Christian doctrine and his characterizations of God.
Thank you, Hank. I appreciate that. God bless you.
God bless you as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tim. He's listening in St. Joseph, Missouri. Hi, Tim.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
One of the things about global warming, it says in the Bible, I think it's in Revelations, but it talks about how man is going to try to take the credit or blame, however you want to look at it, for things that happen in end times. And if we look at global warming and look at some real science facts, this is just what happens every so many hundred years. And this, to believe in global warming and that we can control it, is saying that God isn't in control. God is in control of all things.
Well, I don't think it's saying that at all. I mean, I don't think it's denying that God is in control. If someone murders someone, that does not mean that God is not in control, nor does it mean that the person who murdered someone is not culpable for the murder that they committed. The other point that I think is very, very important is that we interpret Revelation in the sense in which it is intended, that we rightly read it, and that we don't mischaracterize the book of Revelation. So it's critical that we do science well, particularly when it comes to global warming, because if we spend tens of trillions of dollars of the global economy on global warming in an inordinate fashion, and then neglect the poorest of the poor among us because of the stipulations that governments are making, the UN as well as many governments around the world, if we do that, we oftentimes take our eyes off the real ball. For over many, many years, we've known that for less than 200 billion, we could provide clean water for everyone on the planet that does not now have it. And the stipulations of global warming today are causing the poorest among us to suffer the most in the present. So there are a lot of factors that we need to take into consideration, but the two factors that I would focus on in light of this discussion is we have to do science well, and secondly, we have to learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. If we do not, we are denying the very Lord who has commanded for Christians to do those very things. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Shannon in Decatur, Georgia. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
This is my first time calling, but I've been listening probably for over 15 years. God bless you. My husband and I've been a believer, but he's a new believer, so he's been curious and answering a lot of questions. And we were lying in bed, and he said to me, he was like, okay, this Noah's Ark thing. He said, well, if all the animals went on the ship and everything was destroyed, he said, well, why do we have fish? Where did the fish come from? And Hank, I was like, duh, I'm going to call Hank.
Well, look, I mean, all the fish were obviously not destroyed in the flood. I mean, we can presume that many fish were destroyed in the flood, just as we know that many animals were destroyed as a result of the flood. In fact, all humanity was destroyed except for eight who were saved in the midst of the water of the flood. But I think that what's really interesting today is a lot of people are making light of Noah's flood, thinking that this is really something comical, could not really have happened. But common sense demands that we allow for both natural and supernatural explanations to make sense of the universe in which we live. You think about the origin of life or the phenomenon of the human mind. All of these kinds of things pose intractable difficulties for merely natural explanations. So as Christians, and you can tell your husband this, we believe that we have to allow for both natural as well as supernatural explanations for what happens in the world around us. The second thing I would say is that reason forces us to look beyond the natural world to a supernatural designer who not only sustains the world, but who supernaturally intervenes in the affairs of his created handiwork. And that is precisely what you have with the Genesis flood account. The Lord, in his sovereign wisdom, knew what was happening with respect to humanity. And so he sent a flood. Again, this is not just judgment, but this is God's mercy, because ultimately, through the eight that were saved in the midst of the water of the floods, we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the second Adam, who provides redemption for all of us who put our trust in him. And a final point I would make is that if we're willing to believe that God created the universe, as opposed to the untenable notion that nothing creates everything and that life comes from non-life and that the life that comes from non-life produces morals, we would have little difficulty believing in the Genesis account of the flood. So what am I saying here, Shannon? I'm saying that you can say to your husband, look, there are natural explanations that you can give. The natural explanation would be yes. Many fish would have died in the upheaval of the flood, but not all of them. But you also have to recognize that this is a supernatural event, just as the creation of the universe itself is a supernatural event. So we allow as Christians for both the natural and the supernatural occurrences that we read about in Scripture and that we know about by common sense.
That's true. Okay, good. I'm definitely going to say that, but in less terms than you. I'm going to keep it simple. But one thing, and the thing about it is, this Noah's Ark movie, which is the worst, he watched that, and I'm like, please, let's just go to the Bible, because a lot of these movies that they're making now, they come with stuff that's not even really biblical. So that, you know, really causes deep discussions for us too, because he's like, well, they made this movie and this happened, but no, that really didn't happen, which is just the key that we have to get in the Word together. So God is good, and just keep my husband and I in prayer as we continue to grow in the Lord. And look, Hank, add me to your prayer list. I'm a cancer survivor. Add me to your prayer list, Hank. I know it's long.
Well, I'll do that. You know, I was just praying this afternoon before I came on the air. On yesterday's broadcast, a lady named Cheryl called, and I prayed for her. Her husband, Joe, is in a very severe situation vis-a-vis cancer, and they have a child named Kyle, so I was praying for them. I'll pray for you as well. But look, I think what you just said, Shannon, is very, very wise. I think it's right on target. The movie that you're talking about didn't get its information from a good source. It got its information from a discredited, non-biblical source. And so what you said to your husband in this regard was absolutely right.
Thank you, Hank. Thank you so much. I'll be calling again. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Shannon. Appreciate your call. Unfortunately, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be back tomorrow with more answers to your questions. Appreciate everyone who stands shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org.